differently and see what we're looking at. All right?
Sure. So welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Karen Rosen with NJHSA, and I'm excited to introduce you to Shay Pillay from Grant Advance. Grant Advance is one of our newest partners. They are based in Canada and preparing for a U.S. expansion. They offer multiple client search engines to research foundations offering grants and allowing research to be specifically designated for a region or charitable sector. So Shay Pillay is the Education and Client Success Manager. I should mention that you're currently all muted, and we're going to keep it that way during Shay's presentation, but we are going to give you a chance to make comments and ask questions as soon as she's done. So Shay, I'm turning it over to you.
Thank you for the introduction, Karen. Hello, everyone. Welcome to your Grant Advance webinar. I'm going to dive right in, and we'll do a quick Q&A in the end, just to ensure that everyone walks away comfortable with all the information that they need. I'm just going to go ahead and start my presentation here. I'm hoping everyone's able to see my screen.
Shay?
Yes?
We couldn't hear you.
Oh, sorry, just a moment.
Are you talking? Shay?
Yes, Karen, I am. I'm not sure what's going on. I'm so sorry. My apologies.
Okay, it's definitely not coming through, Shay. We're not hearing you at all.
My apologies, everyone. Bear with me for just a moment.
I apologize, everyone. We seem to be having technical difficulties, so just give us a moment, please.
My apologies, everyone. Karen, are you able to hear me?
I am.
Okay, there we go.
There are approximately 11,000 federally registered foundations Canada-wide. All funders are mandated to donate 3.5% of their assets to registered charities every year. Now, we wanted to bring forth a platform that was going to save not-for-profits the most amount of time in order to acquire grants from these foundations. What you're looking at is called a campaign manager. This is where our tool begins. You always start by creating a project to work on. So I'm going to start by creating one here. And as soon as you create this project, you're going to highlight it in the color green. You're going to glance over to the right at the project overview. This project overview is an instant status update that's going to tell you how many funders you've selected, and it's going to prompt you to create documents in chronological order. Now, across North America, 70% of federally registered foundations do not have a web presence. which also means they don't have an online application for you to approach them. So the standard method for you to reach out to a foundation for funding is by crafting a 2-page persuasive letter, and you're going to snail mail it directly to their doorstep. And the official title of that document is called a letter of inquiry. When you send this letter of inquiry to foundations, one of three things is going to happen in response. Option A. If the foundation considers your request modest, which they typically do if you request less than $20,000, and they choose to support you, they may simply just cut you a check. And it could be as simple as that. Option B. They're going to review your letter of inquiry. However, they may need additional information before they can make an executive decision. And that is when they are going to respond asking for a proposal. So now you're noticing that in our system, under our document generators, we list the proposal document secondary to the letter of inquiry because it is only submitted upon request. A proposal document is an elaborated version of a letter of inquiry. It may consist of a detailed budget as to where each dollar is going, perhaps even previous financial statements, in which case they must be audited, but foundations will be very clear as to what they need before they can make a decision. And option C, with any grant acquisition, there's always a chance of us being denied, in which case you are taught when to strategically reapply in the following funding cycle to be successful with that donor. Now that we've created this project, I'm going to click on Go to Find Funders because we must populate it with foundations in order to move on to create that application to get to the next step. So I'm going to go ahead and click on that. And that's going to bring you directly to our search engines. Now we are going to be finding funders by using a search called By Giving History. We are going to look at the history of what has been given to similar organizations that work with similar demographics in order to find foundations that have already shown an interest in our sector. When we seek public and private funding, it's very important to remember that these donors are not in any obligation to provide the purpose for their gift. So it's always best to take a look at who they've provided funding for so we can tap into those sources as well. Now, right here where it says recipient name, I've entered the word Jewish. I've also strategically selected the years 2019 and 2018 in order to see who has provided funding Canada-wide to organizations that work with the same demographics. Now, of course, if you were using this database independently, you have the option to add additional phrases that are more relevant to the specific work you're doing. Examples would be immigration services, family services, education, anti-Semitism, etc. Now I'm also going to strategically exclude organizations such as United Way, the Ontario Trillium Foundation, Canada Helps, and Chimp Charitable Impact Foundation. These are all organizations that fall under a category called designated givers. They are donor advised. If you choose to work with these organizations, you deal with them directly on their website. So I simply like to remove them from our search because we're looking for more targeted family foundations and other public and private entities to tap into. So I'm going to hit search here. Now, when you run a search, we're going to show you a list of the foundation name, the recipient, the year the grant was provided, the amount, the city, and the province. And lastly, we are going to indicate whether the foundation has a website. If a foundation has a website, you directly enter the web portal, take a look at whether they have an online application, and you follow their process. Now, if a foundation does not have a web presence, you're meant to craft a 2-page letter, print it off, and send it directly to them. So here's what a typical search result looks like on the Grant Advance database. I am going to select one of these foundation names in order for us to go through a qualification process just as you would. if you were doing research for a particular campaign. This could be infrastructure, capital, or small project base, perhaps even operational. Now, as soon as you select a funder's name, it's going to bring you to a detailed profile with 11 years worth of donation history, so you can strategically approach them and customize a letter of inquiry based on what you may think will grasp their attention. The first thing you're going to look at with a foundation is your window of opportunity. If a funder gives away 63 grants annually and it equates to $3.6 million, that is a brilliant window. We can see right away that that means they're averaging about $57,000 for every grant they issue. They still have $188.9 million remaining in the foundation. We're going to scroll down further and take a look at their contact information. Now, as I mentioned earlier, because we are dealing with private assets, foundations are not in any obligation to provide a web presence or detailed information. So sometimes all you will have is an address to print off the letter and send it over directly. The exception to that rule is if they have reported a website to the revenue agency. If they have done so, we are obligated to take a look at the website and we flag an online application if that is going to be the route that we take to approach them. The system will automatically indicate that name in the color green. So anyone using the database from your organization will automatically know that there's an online application for you to tap into. Scrolling down further, this section that I've highlighted can be typically vague. This is where foundations are given the opportunity to provide their mission, their mandate, and their primary giving interests. Not all foundations will be very specific as to where they like to put their money. We want to concentrate on donation history. Donation history is hard evidence as to where the foundation likes to support not-for-profits. What you're looking at is a list of every gift that the Asper Family Foundation has issued since 2008. In order to weed through this information, all of these columns are clickable for your convenience. You're going to begin by clicking on recipients, and you may add particular words here that are relatable to the work you're doing. So as an example, if you put the word Johnson to here, that's going to bring in all the not-for-profits that consist of these words. Most importantly, we are here to analyze how much they're providing in our sector. So if you're looking at an education-related grant and they provided an organization with $10,000 in 2018, we want to strategically put forth numbers that the foundation is likely to say yes to. If it's going to be an advantage, you may make a phone call to get more information from the foundation. You can ask about some of their interests in the current funding cycle to improve your chances as well. You also have an option to select your sector. If you select the word sector, this turns into a drop-down menu for you to compartmentalize your search. You can take a look at social and human services, and that's going to give you a wide list of all the relatable organizations in your sector that they have contributed to. Once again, we're here to take a look at how much they're issuing, and you have the option to look at the most recent information if you're finding 2008 to be a little irrelevant here. Scrolling down a little further on the foundation profile, we are in the midst of expanding into the United States, but as of now, you do have information as to whether foundations have a Canada-wide giving interest, which 45% of them do. So if you are based in Ontario, you don't need to deter speaking to a foundation in BC or in Winnipeg if they have supported your province in the past. It automatically makes you a qualified donee. We're also going to tell you how much money or the percentage of the money that they put into your sector, so you have a better idea of your window of opportunity as well. Scrolling down even further, we will provide you with a grant overview that's going to tell you the category, which means your sector, the number of grants provided in your sector, the largest grant, along with the average and the percentage. all this information is going to allow you to strategize as to how to approach the foundation in that letter of inquiry. You're going to scroll down to the bottom and you're going to create notes for us here. If we know that we're going to ask this foundation for $10,000 in that letter of inquiry, we're going to enter all these notes. If you have a particular deadline from the website, or if you've made a phone call to contact a board of director and you have now extracted a deadline or a beneficial information, you have the opportunity to move into the calendar and select a date prior to that deadline. And you may send yourself an email alert so you don't miss out on that opportunity when the time comes around. And you're simply going to click save whenever you're ready. These tools that we've created also allows you to delegate tasks within your organization. It increases your chances for having stronger communication skills within your team, so you're all on board as to what and how you're going to approach these foundations. We're going to click on go to top, and that's going to bring us back to the top of the foundation profile. Now that we've qualified this funder, you have an option to add them to a project. So if you have a list of campaigns, you have the option to qualify these foundations, determine which project they're most suitable for, and you're simply going to add them. Now, alternatively, you may block the funder if you've decided that they are not a good fit for your organization, in which case they will no longer appear in the search engine. And in order to move on, you're going to click on the X on the top right corner, and that's going to bring you back to the search database. So we have a foundation profile for all 11,000 foundations in Canada. And as I just mentioned, we're in the midst of expanding into the United States. So by the end of 2020, you will have all the foundations in America as well. And as soon as you add a foundation to a project, we are going to change their name to the color gold, so everyone on the team already knows that someone has qualified the donor and added them to a campaign. If you are unsure as to which campaign to add them to, you may select the donor and add them to a favorites list to save them for later. You have several options. A third option is to export your results to Excel. If you prefer to work externally, or if you're going to be working online, you can always extract that information and work directly on your computer as well. Now, as soon as you add foundations to a project, so I'm going to select this entire page and I'm going to add them to this campaign to show you a demonstration of what our other features are going to do for you to quickly and efficiently approach these donors. As soon as you send out this letter of inquiry, you're going to be hearing responses from foundations within 3 to 6 weeks, either with checks or requests for proposals. So let's click Add Funders to Project here, because after you go ahead and qualify this list, your next step would be to move into our signature innovation, our document generators. Our document generators are going to save your team 90% of the application process time here. We are going to provide you with a detailed template so you can create a strong letter of inquiry moving forward. We also review your documents prior to that application process to ensure that we check off all the main components that funders look for when they read an application. You're going to begin by introducing your organization. Quickly touch on your project at hand. What are your interests and your mission, and how much is it that you are looking for from the foundation? You're then going to describe your organization further. You're going to bring special attention to how your project goes hand in hand with the work that you're already doing. You're then going to move on by talking about the needs. If you have statistics about geographic impact, now would be the time to say these particular things in the document to grasp their attention. You're then going to move on to talk about methodology. Why are you the best organization to implement these projects in the community with the funders' assets? Do you have a plan in place? The more thorough you are in the methodology, the lower the likelihood is of the foundation responding asking for a full proposal and a detailed budget. So essentially, this is going to save you time. You're then going to move on to talk about where some other funding comes from. It's very, very important to show a foundation that you are financially responsible and that other people like to contribute to your programs. You already have sources of income, and they are only making a small contribution to a greater goal. This makes private donors extremely comfortable. That is also going to increase your chances of seeing multiple year funding with them. It's all about asking for modest requests in the first year and building relationships so you can see that multiple year funding. You're then going to summarize this document. Now, with a letter of inquiry, I have two main recommendations. The first recommendation is to ensure that you do not exceed 2 pages. It's very important to send a document that's similar to sending a future employer or a potential employer a resume. We say enough to grasp attention. We're not going to say too much where there's a risk of boring the funder and they don't complete the document, in which case we don't see the money. Nor do we hear a response. They're not going to bother telling us that they've denied us if they don't finish the document. Now, what I'm going to do here is copy and paste text into this text box, just as you would go ahead and fill out this information about the project at hand. I'm going to go ahead and click create, just as you would when you have completed that template. And that's going to bring you to the second step, where you are now going to customize your master letter of inquiry for each foundation that you handpick for your campaign. Now, my first recommendation for that letter of inquiry was to ensure you do not exceed 2 pages. My second recommendation is to ensure that you ask for specific amounts. Especially now that you can see extensive data as to how much foundations like to provide to similar organizations, we want to put forth numbers that are calculated risks. When we're looking at step number 2, this is the text box that gives you the flexibility to change the ask amount for each donor that you're dealing with. This highlighted field called funder turns into a drop-down menu of all the foundations that you handpick. If I scroll down and select the Asper Foundation that we looked at together, the grant advance is automatically going to populate the average gift, the median, a drop-down menu of all their board of directors or trustees. We're also going to add your letterhead to brand your documents. Coding for the date of printing to be inserted when you print your document, as opposed to when you customize it. We will add the address in which you're sending the letter to, the salutation for a decision maker, along with your senior representation's automated signature. So either your CEO, executive director, president, or board chair will be signing off on these documents. You have the option to upload a digital signature if it's going to save this individual some time. Now, what you're going to do in this section is simply click on View Funder Report Page. It's going to open up the detailed profile where you have now saved notes as to how much you're going to ask from this foundation. If we dive down to the notes section, we have notes that say we're asking for $5,000 in the LOI in March. The most recent note is telling us to ask for $10,000. We must exit out of the foundation profile, and we're going to add that information to the document. You also have an option to add detailed specific notes if you are going to make other custom changes here as well. Now that you've customized this master letter of inquiry for this foundation, you're simply going to click Save. And you've just created your first custom inquiry going out to a foundation. You have the option to preview it, When you've previewed that document, you're then going to click on Next Funder, and you're going to do it again. This is how you're going to go through and create several letters of inquiry within minutes. This is the section that's going to save your team 90% of the application process time in order to reach out to specific foundations that do not have a web presence. When you've gone ahead and saved these letters of inquiry, that's going to bring you into our next feature and our main administration tool, our Grant Secretary, where you're going to print, track, and record all your initiatives. We are going to organize your data in two columns. The left-hand side is titled Master Documents, because if a foundation's name is listed here, that means they have not been allocated a specific letter of inquiry, nor have you made any custom changes. So the system is going to prompt you to head back to the generator to do so. So you may generate that letter of inquiry for them. However, when you start creating custom letters, the system is automatically going to shift those titles on the right-hand side of the page, so you have the option to print your customized documents. You're going to preview and print them, and you're also going to print labels. Printing labels is going to give you Avery and envelope options. So now you have an application ready to be mailed out. Because we have several tools, it's going to be easy for you to delegate tasks among your team as well. If you have one individual qualifying foundations and building a strong list of donors, you may have a second individual that is going to be creating the document. Third individual may be doing the customization, printing, tracking, and recording. So the system's going to bring it all together for you. And lastly, you're going to select the foundation and click submitted and give us a quick status flag, because we are going to create reports for you as well. You also have an option to batch export all your documents to PDF or Word if you prefer to work externally. Now, creating a letter of inquiry and sending it to foundations is only 50% of grant acquisition in the public and private sector. The other 50% is the relationship building portion. We want to ensure that we are being as professional as possible when we approach these donors. We're writing letters from a third person perspective. We are triple checking these documents before sending them out, and we're having senior representation sign off on them. It's also important to strategically apply within the prime funding cycle period, especially if a foundation does not have a website and we are unable to see a deadline. The absolute best time of year to speak to a foundation is between September and April. They are known to be making decisions in autumn, winter, and spring, because they must report to the revenue agency by June with all the donations that they've provided in the last year. If a foundation denies your request, you want to strategically reapply in 6 to 9 months so you hit a different funding cycle. I'm also going to recommend, if you have dialogue opened with the foundation, to ask specific questions as to how to be successful in the next cycle. Is it your organization as a whole that they're not looking to hear from, or is it a specific project? Keep in mind that not all foundations like to provide administration costs or operational fees unless they already know that you're financially responsible or you have an existing relationship. So it's very important to keep in touch with board of directors along the process. Now, throughout this journey of acquiring grants from foundations, we provide you with a Help Center knowledge base. This knowledge base is going to bring you to options to give us a call if you have specific questions about your projects or specific questions about foundations that you're speaking to. But what we pride ourselves on is our education department. We are going to provide you with detailed, helpful information about grant awards. Now, as of now, we're specifically working in Canada, But keep in mind that majority of the information between Canada and the U.S. are interchangeable. The rules that apply in Canada also apply in the United States. We are going to provide you with templates on how to respond to rejections, how to succeed with online applications, thanking your donors, etc. Now I'm going to open up the floor for questions and answers. You may unmute yourself at this point.
Thank you, Shay. I think I have to promote everybody, so I'm trying to do that.
No problem.
So everybody, I'm promoting you to panelists, which I think is how Elisa explained to me. You will get to talk, and then you may or may not have to unmute your microphone on your own. But we're happy to take questions or comments. I noticed, Shay, we do have a few people on that are from the U.S., so I'm excited that they got a sneak peek into what you have to offer, and we'll be interested to hear when you think this will be available in the U.S. But before we hear from everybody, if they have questions or not, we do have one that was typed into the portal. It says, can you address the degree to which the process of sending mass letters of inquiry out to funders is successful, leading to many invitations for submitting full proposals as opposed to those that have a personal connection with the funder?
That's an excellent question. Now, the strength of each document differs, and relationships with foundations differ as well. So sending an unsolicited letter is a risk, but keep in mind, that is why we analyze data ahead of time to ensure that we can see that foundations have already shown an interest in the work that we're doing. We also encourage phone calls. Now, when you send that letter of inquiry, that phone call is a key component because you're introducing the foundation to the work you're doing, giving them a quick heads up that this is coming their way, which is triggering that personal connection to begin with. So that's probably the best starting point. We recommend sending at least 100 letters of inquiry to foundations for each project that you run. It also depends on how many funders you're already in talks with, in which case it's always good to mention that in letters of inquiry that you already have connections with those foundations. So essentially you're marketing your needs a little further.
Thank you.
So Shaw, could I jump in with a question in terms of the use of this system? So if I'm understanding correctly, then this system is really best used for prospecting and doing foundation research. Is this also a system that could be used if you are applying to a specific RFP that's been disseminated?
You may. You have the flexibility to use the system based on the foundations that we already have, and we acquire our data directly from the revenue agency. We update our database every 30 days with foundation donation history. We have custom databases for you to be tracking your external applications, such as government grants, in-kind gifts, other private donors, other resources, municipal grants, etc. So you have the flexibility to use the database to track all your fundraising goals.
Okay. Can you show us an example of how that happens here?
Sure, absolutely. Just a moment here. And I apologize for the technical difficulties I was facing earlier. I'm just having some microphone issues today, so I had to plug in and plug out and restart that. So when you log into Grant Advance, you have a few different options here.
If you were to click on go to find funders, that's going to bring you to our search engines. And this is where you're going to access the foundations that we have in our database. So you can take a look at organizations by giving history. So who are the recipients receiving grants in your sector? You may search organizations by keywords based on what their description of their organization's giving interests are. You have the option to select specific foundations as well. So if you hear of foundations from similar organizations, other directors you're in connections with, you have the option to type in the name, take a look at detailed foundation profiles. You have the option to select by director as well. So if you already have existing relationships or you're trying to rekindle previous relationships, people you've met at networking events, you have the option to look them up. Now we also have custom databases. Custom databases is where you may upload all the initiatives you already have going on. So this is where you can upload your government grants and other sources as well. And when you upload a custom database, this turns into a drop-down menu of all your various options. We're going to teach you how to organize your government grants or external initiatives into an Excel file. And all of that information is transferable into the generators and the grant secretary. So even if you're sending online applications for government funding, you can do all the tracking and recording within our system so we can create detailed reports for you when your AGM rolls around or when you have monthly board meetings in order to report all your success.
Okay, can you speak also to the process by which you're going to be populating this system with US funders? Because you referenced, you know, the Canada Bureau of Charities, you know, that's not the source in the US. So how are you customizing this to also include US funders?
I'm very glad that this has come up because I'm excited to say that we have been working on a Grant Advance 2.0 in the last 1 year. Our IT team has been prioritizing that. We are a company that was founded in 2015. Since then, we've been reading the needs of all our clients, and we have over 1,500 charities Canada-wide that use our service. We've taken one-on-one feedback, and we've developed a brand new system. So the new system is going to have a Canadian flag and an American flag on the left and right-hand side, and you have the option to take a look at foundations in either regions. And the document generator, grant secretary, all of those components will still be available to ease the application process, but you're going to have two different databases in order to take a look at the American side and the Canadian side. And if you come on with us on a subscription basis, you're going to have access to both databases under one platform.
Okay. And what is the source of the US foundations that you're using? Because I think you have a specific source that you're using for the Canadian funders. So I'm just curious, can you share the source that you're using for the US?
Absolutely. We pull all our data directly from the government, so it's as accurate as possible. So the information that the government receives is reported by the foundation, and we purchase that donation history directly from the revenue agency.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
So everybody else who's on, Vera, Joan, Al, possibly Alexander, you're all, I believe, self-muted. So please feel free to unmute yourself or to type anything in the chat box as well. We're happy to answer any questions.
And if you don't have any questions just as yet and you'd like to rewatch this and you have questions at a later time, I'd be happy to answer them for you. My email address is shay, which is spelled, it's pronounced Shay, at grantadvance.com. Feel free to redirect any questions to me later on. I'd be happy to have one-on-one meetings as well. I'd be happy to provide any other information. If it's not directly about foundations, if you're speaking to me from the US, even if it's about relationship building or anything to do with application processes, I'd be happy to have a chat.
Thank you, Shay. I'm not seeing anybody else unmuting or any other questions coming in.
There's one that just came in.
Oh, good. Thank you. Vera, thank you so much. Vera is from Agence Domets in Montreal. And she asked, is there an option to manage other types of funder communication, i.e. generate emails, save PowerPoint presentations, etc.?
In our notes sections here, Vera, you have the options to upload files based on your communication as well. We don't specifically have email generation in our mail merge, but you have the option to export your documents as PDF files and Microsoft Word files at any point. So I'm going to quickly show you a foundation profile here so you can take a look at notes and how you can upload a PowerPoint presentation if you needed to do so. I'm just going to open up a foundation. You would enter your notes right here. And you can add images if you need to. And if I were to click on go to top and I exit back to the foundation, to our grant secretary page, in our management center, you have a secondary option here. Our management center is a tool for you to micromanage all your campaigns. Now I'm going to point out a document library. This document library is where you have the option to save custom letters. If you wanted to import documents, you have the option to do so, and this is where we're going to save all that information for you. And it's quite beneficial because it's private to your account. So none of our other clients can take a look at it. Our staff can't even log in unless you give us permission. So it's all private just for you. You're welcome. And I'm just going to go ahead and type my email into the chat box as well, just so everyone can make a quick note of it.
Thank you so much, Shay.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for your time, everyone. It's been a pleasure, and I do look forward to working with all of you.
So I think this was a great introduction. I don't know if we mentioned this or not. I apologize if you did and I didn't hear it. But as a partner with NJHSA, Grant Advance is offering our network members a 25% discount. So that's a nice savings. I hope some of you decide to take advantage. And, you know, certainly reach out to Shay with questions, or feel free to reach out to me at any time as well. Karen Rosen with the network at krosen@networkjhsa.org. And I'll be happy to put you in touch as well. And I will be sending out a link to the recording from this today also for those that are on or had registered. So you can watch it again if you'd like. So thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
Thank you, everyone. Bye for now.
Bye.